All right, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Friday, June 30th, 2023. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com, and I can't wait to share today's interview with you here. We're going to get to it here. I'll try not to waste any time. We'll try to get to that as soon as possible because I'm interviewing Stefan Mihailu, who is the spokesperson of the comms director for presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. I know. Pretty cool, huh? So Vivek, who I had mispronounced his name the entire time, apparently, and I apologize for that. I was pronouncing it phonetically like Vivek. That's how it's spelled, V-I-V-E-K, but it's actually pronounced Vivek. It rhymes with cake. That's what Stefan told me today. So I learned that. And this man, Mr. Mihailu, he's amazing by himself. I mean, he should be running for office. Apparently he served in office previously, at least that's what I understand. But he's an amazing comms director. He's just a real pleasure to speak with and has a lot of clarity, very strong positions, pro-America. And did you know, by the way, that Vivek Ramaswamy, who I hope to interview later on, he wrote the book called Woke Inc. I mean, he blasted the woke cult, and he talks about the trans cult and the climate cult. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy here, and I love saying his last name because it's so much fun. And his last name is actually pretty easy once you see it spelled. It's, yeah, Ramaswamy, awesome. But he nails it on all the issues that matter to America today. And he's running as a Republican. And so this man is going to give Trump a run for his money. Actually, I'm more excited about Ramaswamy running than I am, let's say, Ron DeSantis. I mean, Ramaswamy is an outsider who is a successful business person, and he's got a degree in biology. And no, he's not with the WEF. He's actually suing the World Economic Forum. In the interview today, you'll hear about that. Because he wants nothing to do with the policies of the WEF, by the way. The WEF wants everybody to be woke. Ramaswamy wrote the book against woke, like literally wrote the book called Woke Inc. So this is a fascinating interview coming up. I can't wait to get to it. The other main topic for today is the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a groundbreaking historic decision. This is really as big as overturning Roe versus Wade. But they overturned affirmative action in academic decision-making for college admissions. And it's really glorious to watch the left have a total meltdown over this issue. Because, you know, let's face it, affirmative action is racism. And as Justice Clarence Thomas said, the way to end racism in America is to end all of it. Right? I mean, just it makes instant sense. You can't end racism by just changing who you're racist against. And the colleges and the universities across America have been racist and discriminatory against Asians and white people in particular, and probably some other groups that we'll hear about soon. And they have essentially allowed people to get into college based on the color of their skin rather than the content of their character, which is what Dr. King wanted America to look like, of course. Well, that has been overthrown now by the Supreme Court. A lot of us suspected this decision was coming. It was a 6-3 decision. And the radical left is going insane trying to figure out what to do about this decision because, you know, they love racism. They love discrimination. They love to hate on Asians and white people. And now they're not going to be allowed to do that, at least not overtly. They will try something else. They'll try to covertly continue to practice racism and bigotry because that's what the left believes in. That's what academia is all about now, is teaching victimhood and denying access to people who have the more capable skills or better arguments or better reasoning or rationality. Because this is the only way the left can stay in power, is to block those who actually deserve to get into college from accessing college. This is basically academic censorship, which is the same thing the left does with big tech. They censor you from being able to rationally argue against, let's say, unsafe vaccines or against transgender mutilation of children. The left can only exist through censorship and deplatforming. And frankly, race-based admissions was a kind of racial deplatforming of Asian people and white people. That's what's been going on for all these decades, actually, in schools, universities across America, and also in corporate hiring as well. So anyway, that's been struck down. I recorded a separate report on that. I'll play that report here in a minute. It's like 15 minutes or something that goes into more detail about all of that. We'll play that. A couple other things to cover first, kind of some smaller news items. We are very sad to report that a TV doctor and vaccination expert, Dr. Alfredo Victoria, he has died suddenly at age 42. This is from SandraRose.com reporting on this. A popular Mexican TV doctor who regularly appeared on Mexico Today as a vaccination expert has died suddenly from myocardial infarction. He was 42 years old. He died in his sleep early Monday. He was a vocal advocate of COVID mRNA vaccines. And he really, really advocated. He said he encouraged his 440,000 Instagram followers to get vaccinated. And he ran the website called provaccines.com. And he has now died, and it makes you wonder how many of his 440,000 followers are also dead now because they took his horrible advice and they committed vaccine suicide. So this is a death cult. You know, this is just like, what was his name? Applebaum? I keep forgetting. Remember the California death cult? What was it called? I think it was the guy was named Applebaum or Applegate. No, Heaven's Gate. That was the cult, and the guy's name was Applebaum, and he had his cult followers commit suicide because they thought they were going to be teleported to the far side of a comet to meet the mothership hiding behind Halley's Comet or something like that. And frankly, the vaccine pushers are also cult leaders who get their cult followers killed. And sometimes these cult leaders take themselves out as well, which appears to be the case here. You know, so one less vaccine cultist, vaccine, you know, suicide advocate in the world. Very sad. Very sad. You can say that in imagining that Trump is saying that. Very sad. Very sad. You know, that was either Trump or that was Marlon Brando. Very sad. Very sad. You can imagine yourself saying that in Donald Trump's voice. Very sad that another vaccine pusher has removed themselves from this world. We wish him forgiveness and prayers for his eternal soul and anybody else who was silly enough to go along with the death cult. All right, so that's one story. Another story that has come out that's quite fascinating is, did you know this has to do with the Ocean Gate submarine, you know, that it imploded and reportedly killed five people on board, although I haven't seen any pictures of their bodies, but, you know, we covered this yesterday. The U.S. Coast Guard says they presume those are human remains, but they're not sure. And, you know, it was pointed out to me today that isn't it odd that there are no videos, apparently, of these five people getting on the sub? Isn't that weird? Wouldn't you expect some kind of celebratory video like, you know, we're getting on the sub, we're going to the deep. Like, this is historic. We are explorers of the deep. There's no videos of that. Kind of weird, huh? I mean, there seems to be no evidence that there were five people on this sub. There's no bodies, and there's no video of them getting on the sub, but at least not that I'm aware of so far. But that's beside the point. Maybe videos will surface, who knows. Certainly the sub did not, but maybe some videos will acquire internet buoyancy. But here's the thing. There was an expert that this company went to, and what was the guy's name? Rush? He was the CEO, Mr. Rush, Malcolm Rush, I think. He had gone to this other company, and I don't have the name of the company, but it was headed by a woman who's an engineer. And she was on some interviews about this in mainstream media. And Mr. Rush went to this company and said, hey, can you take a look at our carbon fiber submarine concept and tell us what you think? Like, is this going to work? Well, apparently this woman who's, I guess, the lead engineer or something of this company, she was on the news recently saying, you know, we told the guy that you got the wrong material. And she said that carbon fiber, you know, I mean, carbon fiber is not the right material. And it suddenly hit me, oh my God, she's completely correct. Carbon fiber is completely wrong material. Now, carbon fiber is very good at resisting flex stresses, right? So the things that you can make out of carbon fiber would include things like bicycle frames that are subjected to a lot of flexing, a lot of vibration. Airplane parts, right? Carbon fiber wings or wing connection parts or what have you. Things that suffer a lot of flex stress. Tennis rackets. When I lived in Taiwan, I actually toured a tennis racket manufacturing plant that used multiple layers of carbon fiber to make tennis rackets. And they showed me the process. It's pretty darn cool. And you have to cross those carbon fiber layers at a certain angle. And then I guess you I don't know if it's baking them or you compress them with heat, and then they kind of meld together, and the angle provides the structural integrity that resists cracking under stress, right? So, you know, airplane frames, bicycle frames, tennis rackets, whatever, these kinds of things resist stress. But you know what carbon fiber is not good at? Is resisting compression stress. That's different than flexion, if that's the right term, stress or flexing stress. You know what's really good at resisting compression? steel, aluminum, titanium. Really, really good. If you wanted to have a hull that did not collapse, you would make it out of titanium. Because metal resists compression in a huge, huge way. This is why, let's say, the hydraulic parts on the hydraulic connector cables that you use on your tractor. You do have a tractor, right? Maybe I'm just assuming everybody has a tractor, but whatever, construction equipment, skid steers, bulldozers, you know, excavators, whatever, tractors, all the parts are made out of metal. And you know why they're made out of metal? The parts that fit together, that is. Because the metal resists both compression and expansion. It can contain pressure from the inside without bursting, and it can also hold pressure pushing in from the outside without collapsing. This is why the United States Navy makes submarines out of metal. You know, different alloys, obviously. And not carbon fiber. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe there's some super advanced submarine that I'm not aware of that uses some amount of carbon fiber on the hull, but I doubt it. They use steel because steel resists compression. And by the way, you don't drop a U.S. Navy submarine down to 3,800 meters of depth. Now, the carbon fiber, as this female engineer was describing, is absolutely the wrong material from the very beginning. And it doesn't matter how you dress it up. Oh, we put all kinds of oxygen tanks on the outside and all this electronics on the inside and these viewports, whatever. It's still the wrong material. And what they should have done, obviously, is they should have, like, dropped this thing down on a long cable to see if it goes down 3,800 meters without imploding. But they didn't. They got in it and said, let's try this out. This ought to be awesome. Or at least, you know, allegedly they did, and they all died. But, you know, and then this guy, Rush, who's dead now, allegedly, remember he said that he went to Boeing. And he got engineering help from Boeing. And apparently, I think he said Boeing helped him get some of the carbon fiber. And then Boeing issued a statement and said, we have nothing to do with this guy. We don't even know what he's talking about. We never met with this guy. We never did engineering with him. So was this guy, was he like the Sam Bankman-Fried of the deep? You know, Sam Bankman-Fried was the FTX crypto scammer guy who made up amazing sounding stories, but it was all BS. It's like, oh, we're going to get approval from this and that. It's, yeah, we got all these billions in the mix and it's all worth all this money. And I'm going to be the world's greatest, you know, wealthy donor, give away all my money. And it was all BS, right? Was Mr. Rush, again, I think his name is Malcolm Rush. Was he this kind of thing, but in the submarine arena? Like, yeah, this sub is awesome. We talked with Boeing. They engineered it. We have all these certifications, which they didn't. We got the best carbon fiber, which it wasn't. It was secondhand carbon fiber. Yeah, it's good for submarines, but it wasn't. It was only even certified for aircraft, which, again, as I explained, is a totally different scenario. And we're going to go down the deep, and all you got to do is pay us $250,000 each. which was the price of the tickets, you know. And then makes you wonder if somebody had a big insurance policy on all these people on the submarine. You know, did somebody get a big payout of this thing or what? Or did all these people fake their deaths? You know, are they on a beach somewhere with a new identity and a funny mustache and a different passport now after being presumed dead? I mean, because there's no evidence of any bodies. Who knows, man? All kinds of weird theories are going to emerge out of this. But the point is, it's not a weird theory to say that the carbon fiber was wrong. And this guy was, he's emerging kind of as a scammer, actually. A scammer. Like, made up a bunch of fake stories and got some secondhand, you know, crappy material that wasn't certified for submarines, sold a bunch of tickets for $250,000, and took these people down to their deaths. I'm wondering if the families of these passengers are going to sue the company, you know, for fraud. I mean, I know the passengers signed away their lives. They had to sign multiple times. There's a risk of death and dying again and really dying bad and all that. They had to sign all that. Initial here, you could die at 1,000 meters or 2,000 meters, you know. I know that, but fraud vitiates everything, right? If the whole thing was fraud, then that contract may not hold. And that company could be liable if they committed fraud and misrepresented the engineering of the sub or the safety of the sub or what have you. So something fascinating to think about. Okay, enough on that. I'm actually tired of talking about that silly submarine, like death in the deep. Okay. Speaking of death, have you consumed any aspartame lately? Because the WHO is about to slap a cancer risk warning on aspartame sweetener, right? Which is a little odd, given that the WHO is pushing the spike protein vaccines and they don't put a death warning on that, or a cancer warning, or a heart attack warning, or anything, or a stroke warning. But if you're drinking Diet Coke, which you'd have to be an idiot to do that anyway, but if you're drinking Diet Coke, you're drinking aspartame and phosphoric acid, by the way. kind of a double idiot to do that. If you're drinking Diet Coke, the WHO says it might cause cancer. Now this story has been covered by The Guardian, says that the cancer research arm of the WHO, it's called the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the IARC. And by the way, the IARC has actually done some good work over the years. I don't know if you know that, but they're not the same as the vaccine-pushing branch of the WHO. I've covered stories in the past few years of the IARC doing some good stuff. Anyway, it says they've conducted a safety review of aspartame, and they're going to publish a report on it next month, and they're going to label the sweetener, quote, possibly carcinogenic to humans, which is something that, you know, I've been warning about for many years. And is it Deborah or Debbie DeMartini? Is that her name? She's been warning about it for many, many years. I mean, for decades, actually. And many of us in independent media have been warning about aspartame as, you know, a substance you shouldn't consume in large quantities. And now, anyway, the IARC, which I don't agree with all of its decisions, by the way, but it is going to label aspartame as possibly carcinogenic. And then the question is, will the FDA or the USDA require any kind of labeling of aspartame-containing products in the United States? And I don't know the answer to that, but remember several years ago when saccharin was required to be labeled as possibly carcinogenic, and then those labels went away, you know, another cover-up. So anyway, I mean, who's seriously consuming large amounts of aspartame right now anyway? I mean it's known as an excitotoxin. And I know people say, well, it's better for you than corn syrup. Well, yeah, don't drink corn syrup either. It's probably better to just drink straight up, you know, cane sugar than corn syrup or aspartame, or better yet, you know, don't consume liquid sugars at all. How about that? You know, get your sugars from natural fruits. A delicious apple or grapes or blueberries. I mean, my dessert is like fresh grapes. Oh my goodness. They're like candy. Or blueberries are like candy. I make some delicious smoothies with frozen fruit, a little bit of whey protein. Thinking of that right now. Actually, throw a banana in there and give it some healthy fats. You know, put in a little bit of macadamia nut oil or some flax seeds. You know, you get the protein, you get the fruit sugars, and you get the healthy fats, and that's it. That's a trifecta of deliciousness right there. You're going to enjoy that, and you're going to get all kinds of health benefits. I mean, why do you need diet freaking Coke? Are you kidding me? Again, who drinks that stuff? Oh my gosh. Okay. In the arena of health, you're going to love this story. Or, I don't know. You might find it offensive. But I didn't make this up. This is being covered here on mrctv.org. A cancer fund. This is a UK-based cancer fund called Joe's Cervical Cancer Trust. And they formed a partnership with the LGBT Foundation in Manchester. And they've now demanded that doctors stop using the word vagina. Because apparently there's something wrong with implying that it might be a woman. Right? I mean, this is how insane that the trans cult has become. So instead of using the word, the vag word, we'll just say, instead of using the vag word, they now say you have to use a new term to describe the vag, which is called a trans-inclusive term that I'm about to state here that you're going to find insane. All right, you ready for it? Okay, here it is. It's a genderless term. All right, ready? Bonus hole. Yeah, right. No, I'm not making this up. This is not The Onion or The Bee. This is Joe's Cervical Cancer Trust and the LGBT Foundation in Manchester. And you're supposed to say, if you're a woman, you're supposed to say you have a bonus hole. A bonus hole? So let me ask you this. In the lingo, the kind of profanity-laced vernacular of American culture, this term, a bonus hole, it's a little too close to another term called glory hole. And it just seems entirely inappropriate and very dehumanizing, de-womanizing, demeaning to women everywhere to refer to a reproductive organ as a bonus hole. But again, remember that LGBT, especially the trans cult, is all about, you know, transhumanism, ultimately. They hate human bodies, especially they hate their own. That's why they want to mutilate bodies so much. They want to mutilate children's bodies. But this whole idea of a bonus hole, and that they're urging doctors to use this term because it's genderless. But it doesn't it just... It eliminates the recognition of, you know, the role of women's reproductive organs. You know, it's as if you're on an adventure and you just discover a bonus hole, like it's a video game or something, and you might have stumbled across like bonus coins or a power up bonus, you know, bonus shields or whatever, and a bonus hole. Like, what do you do with the bonus hole? It's like turning the human body into a video game. Just incredibly demeaning, you know, pretty sick and twisted. And why is it? What's bonus about it? It's almost like they're calling it an extra hole, but bonus is like a reward system. Like, you won, you got a bonus. You know, like you won the lottery or something. You know, congratulations, you have a bonus hole. but yet, I guess they're saying, what's bonus about it? Well, these boys don't have the bonus hole. They wish they did. And we can give them one, kind of artificially, you know, surgically with some mutilations. We can give them a bonus hole. But it's not the same thing, is it? No. It's just, it's really sick and twisted and demeaning. And it's, notice how they use language to mess with people and to, you know, to try to change the perception of realities. Like they say, there's no such thing as mothers. Rather, it's birthing people. As if a man could be a mother, which is impossible. This is why I like, by the way, Vivek Ramaswamy and the fact that he's willing to speak out against all this stuff. But, you know, this idea of bonus hole, it's It's like, you're going on an adventure, you're searching for a bonus, like a treasure, it's a hidden treasure, it's a bonus hole. And it just reminded me, for some reason, of this song that was sung by Billy Joel back in the 1980s that I think was about the bonus hole. And so I thought I would perform that, at least one verse of that song. So I don't know if you remember that song from Billy Joel. It's a great song. I'm go walking in the middle of the, I'm go walking in the middle of the, I'm go walking in the middle of the, un-ba-dum-ba-dum. In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep, walking in my sleep, through the valley of fear, to a river so deep, and I've been searching for something. Taken out of my soul, something I would never lose. It's a bonus hole in the middle of the night. Yeah, that's how that song goes, I'm pretty sure. It's the bonus hole. It's either called the bonus hole or the river of dreams. One or the other, Billy Joel. I'm not sure which way that goes. Or maybe that was an Al Yankovic version of the song. I'm trying to, my memory's fading now from the 1980s. It goes something like that, but. No, seriously, we're living in totally insane times. Bonus hole. You know, if some trans cult lunatic ever refers to one of your organs as a bonus hole, you know what the correct answer to that is? No, honey, it's not a bonus hole. It's exactly the right number of holes. It's not too many, not too few. No bonus, no, nothing missing, nothing extra, the right number of holes. It's exactly the right number as God intended. So enough with these cult lunatic transgender. Oh my gosh. Why do we have to talk about this? This is not what I want to talk about. Let's change the subject before it gets even more insane. Here's something from study finds. Taking vitamin D supplements linked to a better chance of avoiding heart attacks. I always find it interesting how the researchers are so reluctant to talk about anything good about vitamin D. You know, for decades they've tried to cover it up. It's like, no, vitamin D can't prevent cancer. But then the research shows it does. Like, well, you know, it's not conclusive. There's like 100 studies. It's not conclusive. So now a study has come out that says that it can help prevent the risk of major cardiovascular events such as heart attacks in older adults age 60 plus. So that's great news about vitamin D, right? Especially given that so many people are dying from, you know, cardiovascular events related to the spike protein. But isn't it interesting that a lot of the people, probably most of the people who take vaccine injections don't take vitamin D, you know, because they believe the science. Right. No, they have a death wish. Anyway, this is called the D Health Trial, D being vitamin D. It was carried out between 2014 and 2020. It included 21,000 plus Australians aged 60 to 84, and they either got vitamin D or a placebo to take once a month for up to 5 years. And the conclusions are that the rate of major cardiovascular events was 9% lower in the vitamin D group compared to the placebo group. Heart attacks were 19% lower. Coronary revascularization was 11% lower. What else does it say? Says that if 172 people took vitamin D once a month, it would stop one major cardiovascular event from occurring, you know, like a major heart attack or stroke or something that could kill somebody. So those are pretty good numbers. You know, for every 172 people that take vitamin D, probably you can save one life. Whereas on vaccines, you know, for every 100 people who take a vaccine, it's probably killing a couple of them, you know, over time, obviously with the spike protein induced damage and so on. But, you know, more research showing the importance of vitamin D. Make sure that you have your vitamin D levels checked by a doctor. And while you're there, ask them about your bonus hole. See if they have any comments on that. They'll look at you funny like, what? You're like, yeah, check this out. It's a bonus. It's an extra. According to the LGBT. Bonus hole. Oh my gosh. Maybe that's where the transgenders think they're supposed to put the vitamin D. I don't know. What do they think goes in the bonus hole? Is that where you like smuggle heroin across the border or something? I mean, don't give them ideas, by the way. They'll use it for that. All right, with that said, before I totally lose control of this podcast, let me bring you the roughly 15-minute special report that I recorded earlier about affirmative action and how the U.S. Supreme Court has made this groundbreaking historic decision to say that all discrimination is bad. You know, you can't end discrimination by just shifting who you're discriminating against. And now this rule has happened. So here's my report on that coming up. And then that'll be followed by the interview with Stefan Mihailu. He's got an interesting last name there, a little tricky. But Mr. Mihailu, who's awesome, and we did an interview. He's the comms director again for Vivek Ramaswamy, who's running for president of the United States on the Republican ticket and is a very exciting candidate who's also opposed to the woke insanity that's sweeping America for whatever reason. So enjoy the special report, enjoy the interview, and I'll talk with you tomorrow. Well, this is a great day for America as the Supreme Court has ruled against universities discriminating against people based on their race. I mean, you would think that it should have been obvious this whole time. You would think that racism or racial discrimination was wrong and recognized as wrong by universities. But of course, no. Academia run by liberals. Liberals are the most hate-filled people in America. They openly discriminate against Asians and white people. And now, by the way, the left hates Muslims too, because Muslims tend to be pro-family. Muslims don't want their children to be mutilated by the wokesters, right? So the left hates Muslims, Asians, and white people. And finally, the Supreme Court smacked that down and said you can't consider race as one of the factors in college admissions. So of course, the hate-filled, radical, racist left is screaming. They're crying their eyes out and complaining that not discriminating against people is a type of racism. Yeah. And of course, the three liberal judges on the court, one of whom is an actual idiot, are sitting there arguing that you have to discriminate against white people and Asian people in order to achieve some kind of justice in society. So as of today, colleges can no longer use race in their admissions. And by the way, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would have supported this decision. We know that because it was one of his most famous lines in his most famous speech, the I Have a Dream speech, you know, hoping that his children could grow up in a nation where people are judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And that's what the Supreme Court just said to the universities. You can't judge people by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character and their experiences, you know, their extracurricular activities, their grades, but not their skin color. You can't say just because you're black, you get into college to displace a white person who otherwise would have got in, or to displace an Asian person who would have got in. So this decision has the left just screaming and crying, you know, orange man bad, because of course Trump's Supreme Court picks enabled this decision to take place. So this is credit is due to Trump on this. And of course the Supreme Court justices themselves, but unless Trump had won in 2016, these justices wouldn't even be there. And we would be living under a country, a regime that would enforce racial discrimination throughout universities. And by the way, you know, we live in a nation right now where, because of many years of racial discrimination and colleges and universities picking people solely because they check off the right checkboxes of wokeism, you know that we have a generation of young people who have made it through college, but they're still kind of stupid. You know that, right? I mean, the engineering, I don't trust it. The engineers don't know how to engineer. The scientists don't know what science is. The doctors, many of them, not all, but many of them, they don't know anything about physiology. They they're playing along with imaginary transgenderism. Like, oh, let's take a sample from your imaginary vagina because you're a man who thinks he's a woman, you know, that kind of thing. You got a whole generation of college graduates that have been infiltrated by this wokeism that's creating idiocracy. And a lot of the most qualified people, regardless of their race, they could have been black, Asian, white, anything, Muslim, you know, various religions, ethnicities, whatever. A lot of the smart people were passed by. They were rejected, you know, in order to get the woke people into the universities. You see, the woke tards, actually, the cognitively retarded woke idiots. And that's what characterizes universities today. They're filled with woke idiots who can't do math, don't know history, don't understand economics. They think money printing is just magical money from heaven. No, wait, they don't believe in heaven. Magical money from the government, which is their savior. Anyway, the Supreme Court smacked it down. So this is a great day for America. I'll have more comments on this in my Brighton Broadcast News episode, but I can't wait to see how these universities are going to try to work around this rule. They're going to try to find a way to get more woke people, or black people in particular, without actually saying that they're looking at your skin color. So they're still going to discriminate against Asians and white people. They're just going to do it in a more covert manner because, you know, academia, they can't stop being the bigots they are. They can't stop their hatred, their intolerance of people that they don't like. Because it's who they are. So their hatred won't go away. It's just gonna go under the cover a little bit. They're going to try to figure out a new way to do it. Probably they'll try to go by, you know, income level or something. So if your parents have too much money, they're going to assume that you're Asian or white, and then they'll discriminate against you based on that, right? So they'll try to find other factors. They might even go off of people's names and just discriminate based on that, because, you know, statistically, there are certain names that are more black names versus white names or Asian names. I mean, obviously, if you have somebody applying and it's, you know, it's Jimmy Chan, probably, you know, Cantonese ethnicity or something, right? So that person is going to be discriminated against. But if you have, you know, like Darren Johnson, that's probably a black kid, right? So Darren Johnson going to get in just because of the name under the new, whatever the new college rules are. So they'll still find a way to discriminate, or I should have said Darren Jackson. That would be even more so statistically. But you see my point. They're still going to find a way to discriminate. And it's wrong. And understand that my principles are moral, ethical, honest, and merit-based. My principles are aligned with Martin Luther King Jr. My principles are that you should never decide college admissions based on race. You shouldn't favor people because they're black or white, and you shouldn't reject people because they're black or white. It should always be meritocracy. And yet, that's exactly what academia and the libtards, the hate-filled, intolerant leftists, that's exactly what they hate. They hate a meritocracy. Because, of course, most of them on the left are too stupid and incompetent to survive in a meritocracy. They can only survive by rigging elections, by stealing other people's college admissions, by taking money from you through confiscation. They can't compete in a world based on performance because none of the ideas of the left actually work. That's why their cities are in ruins. That's why their economic policies are a disaster. And that's why they raise generations of ignorant youth who are illiterate, being pumped out of the public schools in cities like Detroit and Chicago and Los Angeles, and they can't even read because nothing the left does actually works. Leftists are idiots, and they're hate-filled idiots. They are intolerant, racist, bigot idiots. That would call them, I think, bigots. Big idiots. Bigots. Yeah. Something like that. They're horrible people. They're unethical, dishonest, immoral. They mutilate children. They murder children. They want to steal your money. They want to silence you if they don't agree with your view on anything, including the mutilation of children. Leftists are evil, dishonest, horrible people. And the fact that they've taken over academia only proves that academia has become evil and horrible and dishonest. Also, churning out just woke idiots who are utterly incompetent. And this, by the way, this is how societies fall. This is what leads to the downfall of society. And we're in the last days of the American empire because of wokeism and bad economic policies and apathy and, you know, good people not standing up enough for the truth, things like that. So at least the Supreme Court is pushing back right now against this insane wokeism and demanding that they stop discriminating against Asians and white people and whoever, you know. So it's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. Oh, wait, that's the wrong historical speech. Don't worry. They're going to put a trans on the moon pretty soon and try to erase from history that speech. They're going to put a trans on the moon and a rainbow flag on the moon, claiming the moon for the trans cult that also claims ownership over your children's genitalia. That's how sick these grooming pervert pedophiles are who dominate academia, by the way. You realize that if every university run by these lunatic leftists actually just shut down and ceased to exist, you realize that America would be better off, right? America would be better. It would be an improvement if these universities shut down. They don't teach anything other than victimhood and wokeism, which by definition involves racism, discrimination, bigotry, small-mindedness, tyranny, authoritarianism, censorship, you know, silencing people with whom you disagree. That's the society that leftists are creating. And they're evil, awful, horrible people. I think even RFK probably secretly agrees with that. Because RFK Jr., you know, Bobby Kennedy here, he's running for president. He's a Democrat. I bet you secretly he hates what the Democrat Party has become. Because he's not like them. He's what we call an old school Democrat. You know, like his uncle in particular, JFK. An old school Democrat. They loved America. They weren't afraid to, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag. They weren't into child grooming and pedophilia. I mean, you know, the Kennedy family, they've been into free market capitalism and letting small businesses thrive and rewarding people based on meritocracy and, you know, banning discrimination against people. I think that's what Robert Kennedy believes in today. But that's not what the Democrat Party believes in as a whole. I know there are still some old school Democrats still around that are also disgusted with what the Democrat Party has become. But there's not enough of them. Far too many people have just gone in with all the bigotry and intolerance and discrimination and racism and grooming and pedophilia and child mutilations of the left. They go along with it because they want to be included in the club of the leftist lunatics. It's like, if you want to be in the club of Satanists and demons and child mutilators, all you got to do is support all that crap, and then you'll be in the club. They will welcome you in. And, you know, you can sacrifice your soul and live out the rest of eternity burning in hell if you want to go that route. Or you could denounce the insanity of the left. You could denounce pedophilia, child grooming, child mutilations, you know, child trafficking across the open border. You could denounce these insanities. You could denounce racism. And you could stand on principle, which is what I stand on. Probably what most of you listening stand on. We stand on principle. Doesn't necessarily make us popular in society, but it does make us principled people who, frankly, it's our values that are the only hope for the future of human civilization. What, you think the libtard trans cult is going to make human civilization sustainable? No. They're chopping off their children's genitalia. They're infertile. They're done. They're chemically castrating their own kids. They're done. They have no future. And they're insane on top of that. They're mentally ill. The future of the human race belongs to those of us who take a stand against that insanity and demand reason and rationality and values, which has to include family values for reproduction. You got to have mothers and fathers and families. You have to have children that are healthy, that are genetically viable for the next generation. We're the ones who are the future of the human race, not the libtard child mutilators who also are, you know, the intolerant racist bigots. So isn't it interesting that more and more groups are realizing that the left hates them? You know, I already mentioned Asians, whites, and of course Muslims, but Christians as well. I wonder, is there a point where the left turns against Jews? Huh? Well, could that happen? I mean, it seems inevitable, because Jews who practice Judaism would be, you would think, at some point, you know, quoting scripture, and they believe in a divine creator, right? And yet the left hates all of that. I mean, don't Jewish people want to protect their own children from genital mutilations, or, right? Am I right about that? Or are there some Jews that are going along with the left? Of course there are some, but I think it's only a matter of time before the left turns against the Jewish community. And it makes you wonder, is there any group the left won't discriminate against? And the answer is no, because leftists also hate themselves. Remember, a lot of the leftists are woke, white, liberal women. And what do they most want to achieve in life? Suicide, because they hate themselves. And you can't blame them. Looking at who they are and what they've become, gosh, I would hate myself too if I was a woke, radical, left-wing, white, Karen complainer woman or something, you know, woke-tard, white female. Yeah, that would be a horrible existence. So they are self-destructive, but they want to take out society as well. They want to spread their destruction and their misery and their violence to other people around them. And that's why we have to reject that. And we have to stand up for a real future for human civilization. All right, so something to think about there. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, The Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, where you'll find more truth on these issues and much more. As well as, I'm the founder of Brighteon.com, as you know, free speech video platform, where you will not be censored for telling the truth about the trans cult and the libtard cult. You are welcome to tell the truth there. Just sign up. It's free. Brighteon.com. Thanks for listening. God bless America. Take care. All right, welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. And as you know, we try to reach out to every candidate who's vying for the office of the presidency of the United States. And, you know, we judge people based on their ideas, their merit, their philosophy, nothing else. And so we put out a call, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago to say, hey, can we get Vivek Ramaswamy on as well? Well, his deputy comms director, spokesperson, is joining us today. And his name is Stefan Mihailu. It's a little tricky pronunciation, but I got it. Mihailu joins us. Mr. Mihailu, thank you for joining us today to talk about Vivek Ramaswamy and his run for the presidency of the United States of America. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. We both have eye charts of names, and he's getting a lot more time across America with Vivek Ramaswamy. So we appreciate the opportunity. Hey, before we begin, I just want to say thank you, Mike. I know you've been a huge crusader when it comes to telling truth about COVID, you know, through your network and your podcast. So everything is greatly appreciated with everything you've done over the past few years.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, we do work to tell the truth. We believe in America, the original dream of it. We believe in a meritocracy, and we want real leadership in place, people who have courage. And frankly, I don't know a lot about Vivek. You're going to help us learn more. But from what I do know about him, he has demonstrated incredible courage right now in talking about the issues that matter. You want to give us a quick background of what he's all about?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've gotten to know him over the past few months on the campaign trail. He's living the arc of the American dream. Born in Cincinnati, now lives in Columbus, Ohio. Went to Harvard as a biology major and then Yale Law School for his law degree, and developed basically treatments that treat very serious diseases. You know, a treatment for 3-year-old children that previously had passed away and died, and now they live because of a lot of the treatments that Vivek Ramaswamy developed. He's written three books. The most well-known is Woke Inc. And according to Fortune and many others, they estimate his personal worth to be, you know, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So he decided to run for president of the United States, not for the paycheck. That's certainly not the case at all. But he's lived the arc of the American dream and wants to give back. He wants to lead a national revival because of the fact that Vivek very strongly believes, because of our woke culture, that now people are basically looking to the climate cult, the woke cult, the trans cult, you know, to fill that void in their hearts rather than looking at traditional things that filled our heart and soul, even going back to President Reagan, faith, family, religion, hard work, and the beauty of America. So he decided to throw his hat in the ring and to lead a national revival, again, not for the job or the paycheck at all, but to basically turn America into, you know, that beautiful, you know, beacon and shining city on a hill, the same way we saw under President Reagan. So he's in the game. He's crisscrossing the country, spending a lot of times in places like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. And hopefully this goes from the campaign trail right to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the White House.
Wow. Wow. That's extraordinary. And I mean, it's inspiring, actually. This helps to give me hope in America again, because one of the problems we all face is apathy. Too many people who are successful are happy to just sit back and only worry about themselves. Say, well, you know, society's going to do whatever it's going to do. But for someone like Vivek, who is a very successful financially and career-wise and so on, you know, he's putting a lot on the line now. He's going to face what Trump faced. If Vivek were to become president, you know, the attacks would be nonstop on him as well. And even now, I'm sure the attacks are full force. But why did he decide to put it all on the line like this, knowing how vicious the opposition would be against him?
That's a really great point and question, Mike. You know, when Donald Trump went down that escalator so famously in 2015, he was a business person and a political outsider running for the White House. And Vivek Ramaswamy is doing the same now in 2024. He can only be an outsider once. And right now he is the business owner and political outsider that America needs to basically destroy the deep state and build it up from scratch. You know, he's an outsider. So there's zero connections from Vivek Ramaswamy to the deep state when it comes to the federal bureaucracy. He says all the time that right now the United States of America should not have four branches of government. He wants to return democracy to the people and have three. That's why he talks about in this platform about basically eliminating the Department of Education, shutting down the FBI, shutting down a lot of those three-letter agencies that don't report to the American people, and to shut down the establishment class and return the power to the people. So when it comes to running for president of the United States, Vivek Ramaswamy, it's very simple. He wants to lead a national revival. He's in it for the right reasons. And Mike, I'm a former elected official, and now I work for campaigns helping Vivek Ramaswamy run for president of the United States. I've never met anyone like him before. He doesn't focus on polling. He doesn't focus on consultants. He has the courage of his convictions and his principles, and he makes every single decision on the campaign trail on what is best for the United States of America. So it's can jokingly say sometimes frustrating as the deputy communications director when it comes to trying to, you know, talk to the boss about, hey, we did polling on this issue maybe, or talking about consultant and focus groups on this one. He says, no, I want to make decisions on what's best for the American people. And very quickly, Mike, I'll share a story about Moms for Liberty, where Vivek was on a podcast with the Moms for Liberty, and they just slid a piece of paper across the platform and said, this is our pledge to moms and dads and parents. Will you sign it? And of course, every consultant wants to reach across the table and say, wait a minute, let's read that first. Let's poll it. Let's focus group it. Now, Vivek is has a law degree from Yale. So he did read it, said, okay, fine. I'm putting my name on the dotted line, and he signed it. So it's refreshing that we're going to see, you know, his rawness and him telling the truth on the campaign trail translate to his race for the White House.
I think the time is absolutely perfect for a candidate like Vivek, because the American people are so hungry to hear the truth. They're tired of hearing, even as you referred to, the woke cult or the trans cult just domineering over society and demanding the silencing of everyone who wants to speak out, for example, to help protect children from being chemically castrated at a young age, or even to help victims who were formerly transgenders, but then they detransitioned and now they're speaking out. Well, you know, the left wants to silence those victims. as they come to their senses and say, whoa, that was crazy. I was brainwashed as a 13-year-old and I was mutilated by the hospitals. And now I realize what a horrible mistake that was. But Vivek is not afraid to speak out against the chemical or physical surgical mutilation of children, is he?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the woke left melted down when Vivek was on Meet the Press. And he said that this issue is basically a mental illness. That why on earth would states ban anyone under the age of 18 getting a tattoo and permanently marking their body with a tattoo? You can't do that, but they're going to allow children for gender mutilation. And that he had said point blank, it was a mental illness. And the woke left melted down. They couldn't believe
sure.
it. But he didn't care. Oh, it was unbelievable the reaction that he gets. Look, you know, even going to CNN, you know, Don Lemon led to his demise. You know, Vivek was on with Don Lemon and basically saying, when it comes to the Second Amendment and African Americans post-Civil War, that a lot of the reasons why then, you know, Democrats wanted to put in extremely strict gun laws when it comes to African Americans because they didn't want them to be armed. So Vivek said basically what he felt in front of Don Lemon. He disagreed. Don Lemon went crazy and then he got fired. So Vivek is what you see is what you get. It's so incredibly refreshing. And that's a big part. You mentioned, Mike, before, you know, the truth. He's not afraid to say the truth. And that's a huge part of his campaign platform. It's basically that simple word, truth.
And let's talk about strategy here for a second, because, you know, Trump is very easy for the left to attack because Trump is an older white man. And Trump, of course, has all the years of the baggage that's been placed on him by the media. And sadly, because we don't really live in a meritocracy as Dr. Martin Luther King had called for, we live in a society where people judge others by their ethnicity or their skin color, which I think is very, very sad. But in terms of Vivek's ethnicity, doesn't that in essence make him harder for the left to attack because he is a man that they would consider to be a person of color, even though you and I, we don't judge people by the color of their skin, but the left does. So isn't that a factor in this presidential race?
100%. And it's interesting because there was a newspaper in Iowa that just published just a horrifically racist, insensitive comment about Vivek Ramaswamy. The paper wound up apologizing, but yet Vivek took the high road and he didn't say, let's cancel this cartoonist, let's cancel the newspaper. He accepted their apology and said, okay, it's time to move on. You know, and you also mentioned President Trump and the way the left and the media attacked him in 2015, 2016, and still continues to this day. Vivek Ramaswamy was the very first presidential candidate, even when the first indictment of Donald Trump came down and says, you know what? We should never, ever weaponize the Department of Justice. We should not weaponize the deep state to basically eliminate political opponents. And Vivek says all the time, I'm the one who would benefit from Donald Trump being out of this race. But he stood on principle and said we should absolutely positively not go through with a political persecution of Donald Trump. And Vivek said that he would pardon President Trump of all potential federal charges. Did the same in the state of Florida. It was not a popular position to take, but he did it because he did it based on principle. And also on the issue of wokeness. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy literally wrote the book on woke.
Right.
And he's been taking on the left for years. And it's a big part of his presidential platform. We've just had a huge ruling from the Supreme Court that's basically
shooting down
affirmative action. It was a huge ruling. You know, but Vivek made a really interesting point, Mike. He had said just within minutes, watch Harvard and all these other colleges try to find some semblance of a loophole to get around the Supreme Court ruling. And that's exactly what's happening.
Of course.
Harvard is now saying, well, wait a minute. We'll let people and students talk about race in their essays so that we still follow the law and still follow the Supreme Court's ruling. But Vivek is taking on all his issues and he's taking it out with the truth and bluntness and in ways that's really driving the establishment and the left crazy.
And just so that I can ask the correct question here, I apologize that I don't know this for sure yet, but is Vivek's ethnicity, is it Indian? Am I correct to assume that?
Yeah, he's Hindu and he talks about the importance of faith on the campaign trail. He's basically the first like millennial Republican running for president, the youngest candidate in that respect. Faith is very important to him. You know, he talks about St. Xavier, St. X, the Catholic school, going to high school in Cincinnati, about that playing a huge and important role in the formation of his principles and his guiding beliefs. You know, the issue of faith is really important to Vivek Ramaswamy, especially when talking about you know, the woke left and the cultist left. Now, one of the reasons why he's running for president, Mike, is the fact that there's a hole in the heart, his words, in a lot of people across America. And rather than filling with faith, God, religion, family, that a lot of the insane left, they're filling that hole with trans cult, the COVID right. cult, the climate cult. And so that's why he's very open about faith and the importance that we do have a very strong balance and a return to faith and God to fill that hole instead of things that represent
and
the left.
And that's critical because the other thing I've noticed recently is that the left is, you know, the left is filled with intolerance and hatred, and they've begun to attack now Muslim families. Because Muslim families don't want their children to be mutilated either, it turns out, for, you know, who would have thought? But you talk about people of Hindu faith, people of Indian ethnicity coming to America. Many Hindu families, of course, are pro-family and very, very strong families, in fact, much stronger than many other countries of origin. And it's only a matter of time before the left adds to their discrimination lists people of Indian descent or of Hindu religion, not just Muslims, not just Christians, not just Chinese, because of course the left now, you know, openly discriminates against Asians in academia. So it's like every group is going to be on the hit list of the left if we don't stop this wokeness, right?
Yeah, it's insane, the hypocrisy of the far left. And that's why Vivek Ramaswamy always says, you know, when it comes to the issue of race, reverse racism is still racism.
Right.
You know, on the issue of life, Vivek always says, you know, unborn life is still life. And, you know, he has an established track record of not only being a business owner and a political outsider, but someone who's taken on, you know, the woke left over the past few years, again, especially with his book, Woke Inc. And the left and the media, they melt down every time Vivek opens his mouth about these issues.
That's
again,
great.
You know, the left went crazy when he said that the issue of, you know, mutilation and transgenders and folks trying to mutilate children, that it's a mental illness. And we need to treat that mental illness rather than, you know, basically coddle a lot of these individuals in cave.
That's right.
We call it a mental illness.
Well, and that also implies that we need to support compassionate treatment for those who suffer from mental illness. So we're not saying that, you know, they should be silenced and ostracized from society, but rather they need help. You know, if a biological man believes he's a woman and he's wondering why an OBGYN won't examine his imaginary cervix, then clearly he needs some help. We're not trying to mock him. We're trying to help him, but we certainly don't want to share that delusion and coddle that delusion and expand it to the medical schools where doctors are being trained now to participate in the imaginary biology of transgenders. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. You know, I'm a father. Vivek is a father of two young boys. You know, it's a really interesting point you make, Mike, because I think of the work that Vivek put in from the medical community, where he developed treatments to literally save lives and improve lives. Again, there was a disease where previously 2 and 3 year old children would die, and Vivek developed treatments to help save their lives, develop cancer drugs. From a physical perspective, he developed those treatments to save lives. So when we talk about the trans issue and mental health and mental illness, you would treat that rather than cave in to the woke cultist left and say, okay, we're just going to go with the whim of those folks that want to mutilate, when it comes to trans issues, their children and young children. And the light bulb went off for me when Vivek made the point on national television that most states, and I believe every single state, these states have laws on the books that stop anyone under the age of 18 from getting a tattoo. Why? Because that permanently damages their body for good. So if states, as Vivek points out, have laws on the books that limit getting a tattoo, why on earth would you have any kind of laws on the books that let children be mutilated, in some cases, do so in cases of not notifying parents about that issue?
Yes.
So Vivek Ramaswamy is very clear that you need to treat the mental illness and the mental health of someone, and that is truly caring for someone.
That's right.
Rather than let them mutilate not only themselves or small children.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, there are so many issues we could go into on that, including big tech censoring people who oppose any vaccine, by claiming that if you oppose a vaccine, that that's promoting self-harm. And yet those same platforms allow people to promote self-harm of children under transgenderism. But we'll come back to that. By the way, you are an excellent communications director. You are...
I appreciate that.
No, you're very well spoken, tremendous clarity on this. You said you have experience in media as well, but I just want to compliment you. Vivek has chosen well to have you here, and I'm really thrilled to be able to interview you here. Can I ask you to do, let's do a little rapid fire on some, just sure. some issues.
Anything you want.
Okay, Second Amendment. What's his position there?
Yeah, Vivek got a standing ovation at the NRA conference where he was very passionate about being a huge protector of the Second Amendment and anything related to the Constitution. And that really goes back to his experience with his law degree from Yale and respecting and protecting our Constitution. You know, he took a lot of heat from the left-wing media when he talked about Taiwan and saying, okay, I think the NRA should open a branch in Taiwan and that will keep the Chinese back.
I agree.
Huge supporter of the Second Amendment. Oh, you should have seen it. It was great. The NRA convention, standing ovation. But of course, the woke left went crazy.
Of course. Okay. Climate change.
Vivek Ramaswamy calls it the climate cult. And the fact that there's a hole in the hearts of a lot of people, they don't know and or have those values when it comes to faith, God, hard work, things of that nature. So they engage in the climate cult, where Vivek Ramaswamy makes the point all the time and of their hypocrisy that nuclear is probably one of the safest and best forms of energy in the world. And the so-called climate cult should support nuclear energy if they truly cared about our climate, but they don't. And so he makes the point all the time that they're, you know, just a bunch of hypocrites because they oppose nuclear energy when, in fact, it is one of the cleanest and best forms of energy in the world.
Yeah, you know, I have more questions for you, but I completely agree on that point. And you, and I'm sure Vivek and you know that nuclear power plants can be built in a way that is not dangerous in case coolant circulation halts, that they would self-shut down. They're self-regulating nuclear power plants. Those could be constructed. The design already exists, and they would be very, very safe to operate. And I completely agree with you. Okay, what about the issue of vaccines? I know it's complicated because there's this COVID injection, the mRNA, which is very much different from sort of all the other vaccines that came before. But what's his take on vaccine freedom, experimental use authorization, and all of those issues?
Yeah, that's a great question, a very fair one. You know, I've seen interviews with Vivek Ramaswamy where he has said point blank, he absolutely positively opposes any government mandate for a jab. And I know, Mike, again, you've been one of the leading crusaders across America when it comes to the issue of big pharma and jabs and COVID. And Vivek Ramaswamy is taking a very active approach as well. You know, last year he was talking about the fact that COVID began in a Wuhan lab and that he would do everything in his power to hold China accountable to the point where he now wants to declare independence from China, America's biggest enemy. When it comes to the jab, Vivek Ramaswamy has said point blank, he absolutely positively opposes any semblance of government forcing kids or any adult to take a jab.
Okay, outstanding. But what about the FDA's abuse of power in the emergency use authorization that created all this legal immunity for the vaccine manufacturers, even though they lacked sufficient clinical trials to support safety and efficacy claims?
Yeah, this is going to be a 30,000 foot answer from that respect. Whether it's the FDA, or the Department of Education or the FBI. You know, Vivek basically says he's going to shut down the deep state and shut down a lot of those agencies, do a deep dive and investigate things like the FDA to determine whether or not they actually report to the American people, whether or not they should be shut down. Vivek has a very, very specific plan when it comes to being an expert in this field. I mean, he's got a biology degree from Harvard. And at the end of the day, you know, he always says that every decision he's going to make, whether it's the FDA or the DEA, that he's going to do a deep dive of all these different agencies and see whether or not they actually report to the American people and what should be done about them. But he absolutely positively will take a hard look at the FDA, COVID, the jab. But I think most important is the origination of COVID, that it came from a Wuhan lab.
Yeah, absolutely. A bioweapon development link back to the DOD. Here's a question that you probably won't get from any other host, but being that my background is in food and nutrition and food science, let me ask you this. Does Vivek understand That there are medicinal molecules to be found in foods. In fact, many ethnic foods that are consumed all around the world, including in India, such as turmeric, for example, that contains curcuminoids that have, you know, strong medicinal value. There's so many of these, broccoli sprouts with sulforaphane, that foods can be medicine. What's his position on that?
That is a great question. And I do spend a lot of time with Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm at Columbus headquarters, Columbus, Ohio, on a regular basis. I will say that his diet is incredibly important. He's in phenomenal shape. He was a top-ranked tennis player at one time, and he's a vegetarian. I've shared meals with him. I've been around him and his family for quite some time, and there isn't anyone that I know, personally or professionally, that's in better shape or eats well or takes his diet and food so seriously as Vivek Ramaswamy. Again, to the point where he is a vegetarian for not only faith-based purposes, but also to live clean and live incredibly well. I wish that rubbed off on me, spending more time with him, or maybe if you and I talk more, Mike, certainly I should be doing more of that. But, you know, as far as Vivek is concerned, he has an incredibly clean diet. He's in phenomenal shape. And yeah, the diet and food is incredibly important to him from a faith perspective, and also from his body as well.
What about from a policy perspective? Because one of the interesting things that happened during COVID, when Trump was in the White House and he had Dr. Atlas there for a little while, I believe, and Dr. Atlas began to talk about things like the importance of quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D, and, you know, zinc ionophores, for example, that are enhanced by quercetin to allow the absorption of zinc into cells, where zinc has an antiretroviral function. Actually halt viral replication. It's all based on real science. You know, it's not woo-woo. It's not made up imaginary stuff. If Vivek were to become president, would he be open to science-backed people in his administration, perhaps even a surgeon general who could, you know, break the mold and actually start recommending that people use some nutrition because it's safe and it costs almost nothing?
Well, I think that's what makes his background so perfect, not only as a business owner, but as a political outsider, but he has a degree in biology from Harvard. You know, he's developed treatments for diseases that save and improve lives. And he's very open when it comes to thinkers around him, whether it's someone as a surgeon general, people for his cabinet, or the folks like me around him at campaign headquarters. So I would say that he would be absolutely open to anyone who focuses on the truth and facts. And it's the truth is so important to Vivek Ramaswamy that it's a big part of his platform. It's the branding of the campaign, the truth. So whether it's choosing someone to be a part of his cabinet that focuses on the facts and the truth when it comes to the sciences, I can tell you this, he will never rely on a deep state bureaucrat to make those choices. Vivek Ramaswamy will focus on the fact, the truth, and hiring the best person for the job. Not based on skin color, not based on quotas, but the best person for the job. And trust me, a huge part of his platform, Mike, is to destroy and dismantle the deep state, whether it's three-letter agencies or things. It absolutely is, and build them up from scratch. So to answer your question, with his biology degree, trust me, he's a smart guy, and he's going to hire the best and the brightest, not bureaucrats.
I'll just mention for context here, one of the things that I really like about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the fact that he is very well informed on pollutants, you know, heavy metals in the environment and in foods and pesticides, herbicides. Did you know atrazine is the second most common herbicide, and it's a gender bender chemical? It's number two right behind glyphosate, which is a cancer causing chemical. Robert F. Kennedy knows these things. You know, he and I can talk, you know, high level, because we both have a background in this research. And I think that's also important. You know, we have a collapse of honeybee colonies taking place right now. Pollinators are being lost, which will affect even the economics of agriculturally heavy states like California, which produces almonds, for example, that rely on pollination. You know, these issues are intertwined. You know, you can't poison the world and expect to have an economy, because you'll die from healthcare costs, treating everybody for cancer because they're all, you know, being destroyed by the toxic food supply, for example. It's all interrelated. What are your thoughts?
It sure is. And I do want to mention RFK, and I'm glad you did, you know, talk politics for a second and talk the presidential campaign, mentioning RFK. The way the Democratic Party is treating him and not letting him debate. Whereas Vivek Ramaswamy says, look, I'll debate anyone, anytime, anywhere. And he said that, you know, President Biden is a hollowed out husk that's being propped up by the deep state, that he's a puppet. And they want him as president as long as possible to keep the deep state going. So from that perspective, you know, the Democratic Party is being very shameful when it comes to shutting him out of debates.
Absolutely.
And Vivek Ramaswamy wants to debate anyone at any time, anywhere on the Republican side of the aisle. But we need to hear those voices, whether it's some RFK on the issue of honeybees, food, things of that nature. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy always says, you know, the way to either shoot down a bad idea is to come up with a better one.
Yes.
We need more speech in America, regardless of your political party or your political persuasion. So he hardly supports more speech to shut down bad ideas or to bring good ideas like the ones you mentioned to the forefront.
Well, speaking of that, by the way, let's talk about more speech and more debates. So tell me, what is going to be necessary to get Vivek into the debates on the Republican side?
That's a great question. Thankfully, from the very beginning of the campaign, Vivek Ramaswamy, who's put in $10 million of his own money, he's putting his money where his mouth is, had been asking people to support him with $1 donations at Vivek2024.com. The reason is because the Republican Party put in very strict parameters of who's going to be at the debate stage. You need to have 40,000 unique donors from certain portions of all across the country in order to be on the debate stage and to have a certain percentage of the vote. The good news is Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be on the debate stage.
Yay. I love that.
Ago. He is. Yeah. So,
so he's already achieved the 40,000, or are you saying it's projected to achieve that?
Oh, no. He is way past that.
Oh, that's awesome.
I believe it was. Yeah. It was over a month ago. He hit 40,000 donors for a dollar. He's got skin in the game, Mike.
Yeah.
He put in $10 million of his own money. So that's the reason why he was asking for a dollar. A lot of people were contacting the campaign. It's like, wait a minute, I've heard you're worth a few hundred million dollars. What are you asking me for a dollar for? But it was all to get on the debate stage, and we don't make the rules, the GOP does, but he will be on the debate stage in Milwaukee, and whoever else hits that threshold, he'll be there too.
And when is that debate?
He does hope that Donald Trump debates. It's going to be the end of August, I believe August 24th in Milwaukee, but it's going to be the end of August in Milwaukee. Vivek will be on the debate stage.
Okay, excellent. I'm really pleased to hear that. And I would advise our audience, if you'd like to support a diversity of voices and views on the Republican side, definitely go to, what is it, Vivek2024.com. And that's spelled V-I-V-E-K. I apologize, I was pronouncing his first name incorrectly all this time. But Vivek is how it seems phonetically, just in case you're listening. Vivek2024.com. You can go there and you can make a $1 donation or more. And you can join with an email list there. You can join the email, see, enter your zip code, enter your mobile number. And look, you know, as much as I love many things about what Robert F. Kennedy is doing, I love many things about Trump's platform, but like you, Stefan, I absolutely agree that we need more voices on the debate stage. We need to hear from more people, more ideas. And the fact that he's going to be there in Milwaukee, as you said, at the end of August, is going to introduce millions of people to Vivek's ideas and his courage, his voice, his truth. And that could be a game changer for the future of this country.
It certainly can. I cannot wait for the debates because Vivek Ramaswamy, he really is. He's special. He's unique. He's different. For the fact that he just speaks the truth. He's not relying on polls or consultants. He has the courage of his convictions. And what you see is what you get. And that's what you're going to see on the debate stage. And he certainly hopes that President Trump joins the debate stage the same way that he did running for president in 2016. But Vivek will be there. And I think it's going to be wonderful to see, you know, for the American people with Vivek Ramaswamy, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Again, there's no focus groups, no polling. He has the courage of his convictions, and his core beliefs are going to be right there on that stage. And he says things that he believes, whether it helps him or hurts him politically. That is not his care or concern at all. It's always, okay, I have my beliefs, and what's best for the American people? That's it. And that's going to shine in that debate stage.
That's exactly what we need right now. So let's continue on the issues. Talk about money printing, the Federal Reserve, and government debt.
Oh, that's a huge issue. That's a huge issue. And that's one when it comes to Vivek Ramaswamy wanting to basically gut the Fed, reduce it by 90% and get back to its core mission of just stabilizing the dollar. That's it. Get out of politics, get out of policy. They have one job under Vivek Ramaswamy's president. The Fed will just be there to stabilize the dollar. He's also talking about Bitcoin, about using that as a barometer.
That was my next question, crypto.
Dollar.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, he actually takes, you know, he's one of the first candidates, as you mentioned, RFK too. Vivek Ramaswamy accepts crypto. He wants to use that as a benchmark to stabilize the dollar, but he's very passionate about reforming the Fed. And that goes back to his big picture issue of destroying the deep state and returning the power to the people, that you don't need this massive bureaucracy at the Fed where people are there for 30 years, they're government employees. And that's another issue too, we're mentioning the Fed, but a big part of Vivek's policy is having an 8-year term limit for bureaucrats.
Oh,
that
yes.
The president of the United States can serve 8 terms or 8 years, that the president can serve 8 years, so too can those bureaucrats.
And the bureaucratic class, the lifetime membership to what has become the deep state that frankly oppose a lot of the things that Trump was trying to accomplish. Well, let me put this invitation out there, Stefan, that I have a new show that just launched called Decentralized TV. And that's the website, decentralized.tv. And we talk about decentralization, living a life without the overbearing centralized authority. And cryptocurrency is a big part of that show. I'd like to invite Vivek to come on to that show. We film it on Fridays. If you can pick any Friday, an hour, anytime in the next few months, he would be welcome to join the show, talk about decentralization, talk about crypto, talk about his plans for the White House. We'd love to have him on.
Yeah, it's an issue that's very near and dear to him. Vivek Ramaswamy spoke at the Bitcoin crypto conference in Florida, I believe it was last month, to talk about the fact that he was going to accept Bitcoin and crypto for campaign contributions, and the fact that he would use it as, you know, one barometer to stabilize the dollar. He's very passionate about that, but especially reforming the Fed. He absolutely positively, as president, Vivek Ramaswamy, will reform the Fed, gut it by 90%, and get back to its core mission, which is just to stabilize the U.S. dollar. Nothing more, nothing less, no politics involved.
Well, and stabilizing the U.S. dollar would mean stop printing it, by the way. And that, but that would destroy the right. power of what the reason the Federal Reserve exists is the power to print money so that government can you know, wield that power essentially as a weapon over the world, not just the United States people. You know, the dollar has lost 97% of its value since the Fed was created. 97%.
Well, but that's what happens when politicians are allowed to print money.
That's right.
It's that simple. You know, and Vivek has said all the time that that's the problem with America. It's a problem, reason why we have out of control inflation under the Biden administration. The politicians cannot stop printing money and to live within its means. But you know what's interesting though, Mike? Vivek Ramaswamy talks about the fact that you cannot cut your way to prosperity. That Republicans, whenever there's an issue like raising the debt ceiling, and you mentioned printing money, you know, the issue of inflation and over government spending, Vivek Ramaswamy says, Republicans always say we should just cut and cut our way to prosperity. And the Democrats say, well, wait a minute, let's just spend more and raise taxes. Where a big part of Vivek's campaign platform, and no one's talking about it, is just increasing GDP growth,
yes.
getting people back to work, drilling, fracking, getting the economy moving again, and not just printing money in the basement of the Capitol in order to solve government's problems, because we have record deficits under President Biden. And that's why Vivek's really passionate about GDP growth.
Yes.
No one's talking about it. Republicans want to cut, Democrats want to tax and spend. Vivek is talking about strengthening GDP growth.
Yeah, I think that's really critical. And what's interesting is the answers are right there in front of us. For example, getting back to crypto, you know, America could become the crypto hub of the world. There could be all kinds of extraordinary GDP benefits, jobs, based on, frankly, you know, digital products and services, far beyond just currency, but also publishing and privacy and so much more. And yet the current administration is at war with crypto, driving it to other countries, which only saps the GDP of the United States in the long run. So let me ask you this question, and you can also respond to what I just said, but would Vivek specifically, would he support individuals being able to hold their own crypto wallets and keys themselves, including privacy coins, whereas the World Economic Forum and the EU and the way that governments of the world are going is they want to essentially ban people from holding their own cryptography keys because they don't want people to be able to control their own money. What's Vivek's position on that?
Yeah, I can tell you two issues, and you mentioned the World Economic Forum, and I do want to say this because, you know, it's a big mistake that people on the right and left are talking about Vivek when it comes to the World Economic Forum. He's actually suing the World Economic Forum. They are known for this scheme of naming prominent people without their permission to basically fool people into thinking they follow their agenda. So Vivek is suing them. They pulled the same stunt with Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard. So Vivek is in court right now, and they folded like a cheap suit.
Wow.
Admitted once he filed a lawsuit that he was never a part of the World Economic Forum, and the fact that he has been America's biggest crusader against them. You know, now getting back to crypto, the conversations that I've had with Vivek Ramaswamy have to do with the fact that his main mission has to do with basically using crypto as, you know, one benchmark when it comes to stabilizing the dollar. You know, the very specific question that you answered, you know, again, Vivek will basically say what's best for the American people and what is best for individual consumers pertaining to that very specific question that you had. The conversations that I've had with him have to do with the fact that he's going to use that as a benchmark to stabilize the dollar.
Well, this is something worth asking him, by the way, and I hope that we keep in touch and maybe you're on again, or maybe we talk to Vivek in the future. But there's a very important distinction that I know that you and he will understand, which is that you know, the Federal Reserve wants to launch probably CBDCs here in America, central bank digital currencies, which is a treasury controlled or government controlled digital currency. Whereas, exactly. But the crypto industry wants individuals to be able to hold our wallets, hold our keys, hold our coins, and decide what we wish to do with that. That is a very clear dividing line between the authoritarians versus the pro-liberty freedom lovers. And I know that RFK Jr., for example, he has publicly stated that he would support specifically people holding their private keys to their own private wallets for Bitcoin. And so please pose that question to Vivek. I know the world of crypto would love to hear his take on that issue. It's a very important issue.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the digital currency and having this global elitist control individuals. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy had said, you got to be very careful, you know, especially when you're tying it into the issues of ESG, where what's to say that if some European country or some European conglomerate or a global conglomerate can basically freeze your money, your hard-earned money, your earnings, for whatever societal injustice they make up or
right.
decide.
I know.
So it's a really dangerous, slippery slope. And Vivek, very early on, fundamentally opposed to giving any kind of global entity that kind of power, especially over the American people.
Absolutely. Well, that's great to hear. So in just, we have a couple of minutes left here. I'd like to give you, Stefan, just an opportunity. Give us a kind of a closing argument, if you would, of why our audience should support Vivek or should donate to his website. Again, it's VIVEK2024.com, just in case you're, to make sure people have a way to get there. And there's a lot there on the website, but go ahead and give us, if you would, kind of a closing argument. What's the summary of everything we've covered here?
Well, now more than ever, we need a business owner and a political outsider as our next president of the United States. You know, it'll be an outsider once. And right now, that is Vivek Ramaswamy. He believes that we can have a huge landslide the same way that Ronald Reagan did in 1980, if he is able to lead a national revival and fill that hole and that void of asking young people that question. And it's sad, Mike, that a lot of people are asked the question, what does it mean to be an American? And they can't answer it. And Vivek asks people all the time on a regular basis on the campaign trail, okay, what does it mean to be an American? And a lot of times he's met with a blank stare. So he wants to change it. He wants to lead a national revival, make people feel great about America again. So that's a cultural revival that he wants to lead. But he also wants to get our economy moving again under the failed policies of President Biden, who he calls a hollowed out husk. And it comes to destroying the deep state. He's a political outsider. There's zero ties to the deep state and Vivek Ramaswamy. So he's the perfect person to go in and destroy it. We look at affirmative action, and it's basically Lyndon Johnson's executive order 11246 with an executive order that established affirmative action. And it hurts American companies and businesses, where 20% of federal contracts have to go towards a lot of companies when it comes to affirmative action. On day one, Vivek Ramaswamy is going to end that executive order and end affirmative action when it comes to the federal government. He's the outsider that we need. He's going to lead a national revival, and I think he's going to be our next president of the United States.
Okay. By the way, excellent summary. Thank you for that. And one more question I forgot to ask you. What's his take on Trump? You know, does he honor some of the things that Trump has accomplished? You know, the Supreme Court decision we just got on affirmative action in academia was, we have to give Trump credit for his nominees on the bench. What's Vivek's interaction with Trump or comments on Trump right now?
Yeah, it's a fair and a great question, actually, that a lot of people on the Republican Party ask all the time. Vivek Ramaswamy has an America First agenda that's going to build on the seeds of what President Trump planted back in 2015 and 2016, but take it to the next level. Take the border, for example. We need to do more than just build the wall. Vivek Ramaswamy has said that he's going to use the U.S. military to not only secure the border, but bomb cartels.
Wow.
Okay.
So I'm in Texas. So, you know, a lot of people in Texas want to hear something about the military protecting the border. That's for sure.
Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy has said he's going to use the U.S. military, not just to secure the border, but to bomb cartels, because the free flow of fentanyl in every corner of America is killing children, adults, everyone across our country, coming in from China, but yet also through Mexico. So he's going to use the military to bomb cartels and protect the border. But it's taking that Trump agenda further, that it's not a campaign of just vengeance and grievance. We actually have to get the job done for the American people. And Mike, we mentioned and talked about affirmative action before. Any president since Lyndon Johnson could have, with a fell swoop of a pen, ended affirmative action with an executive order, because that's how it started. It didn't happen under President Trump, but Vivek Ramaswamy will do that. So his mission and his goal, he respects President Trump for running in 2015 and 2016, but his mission is to take that agenda, the America First agenda, farther, not just vengeance and grievance, but actually getting the job done.
All right. Okay. Well said. Wow. If you're gonna start bombing the Mexican drug cartels, it's gonna take a lot of bombs. You're gonna have to crank up bomb production, I think, because it is a much bigger problem than a lot of people realize. But anyway, this has been an amazing interaction. Thank you so much, Stefan, for your time and your dedication to this. You're an outstanding communications director. And in fact, you just hang on after I do the outro here. I have a comment for you. But thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
No, I greatly appreciate it. And again, I sincerely mean that, Mike. You know, you've been on the forefront of the COVID battle for quite some time. You brought it to the attention using the platform that you have, and it's much appreciated.
Well, thank you. And the website again is Vivek 2020. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing it phonetically again. Vivek2024.com. But the actual pronunciation is Vivek. It rhymes with cake, as our guest has explained. So thank you all for watching today. And please consider supporting Vivek, because we need more voices in the debates. And his position is, it seems from what we've learned today, is very refreshing for what America could really use right now. So thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care and God bless America.